Begin the current daf, Masechta Nedarim, daf Pei Tes. Begin on the bottom of the daf Pei Ches Mabeit, three lines up on the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of this Perek, regarding the qualifications and the parameters of the ability of a husband or father to be made for the neder of a woman. Now, our Mishnah discusses specifically a pasuk in Mamidbar that says, V'neder amonu ugrusha yokmala. It says that although, in regards to a regular woman, either by her father or by her husband, that they could be made for her neder, but when a widow or divorcee makes a vow, then Yakamala, then the neder is automatically validated. So the Mishnah explains Ketza. What is the case that the pasuk is discussing? So the Mishnah says it's talking specifically if Amra, let's say in such a case where she says Harein in Nazira, I want to be a Nazir, meaning she's taking on neder of Naziris. Lachar Shleishim Yoim, for after 30 days from now. She's lonely, she's divorced, she's widowed, whatever it is, she's taking a vow of Naziris. But I want it to take effect 30 days from now. Now that is what the Chiddush of the Pasuk is telling us, says the Mishnah. Even if she gets married within those 30 days, and it's only going to be taking effect, the neder, when she's already married, and usually when a woman is married and a neder takes effect, the husband can be made for. That's what the Pasuk is teaching, that the husband cannot be made for that neder of Naziris. Now, as the Ran explains that, what the Mishnah is trying to say is that you have to say the Pasuk is told about the way we just described in such an illustration. Because if you would read the Pasuk, what's called Kipshutai, with its literal translation, meaning a regular widow or divorcee taking a neder, her neder is validated, why would you need a Pasuk to say that it's Yakum Alel? Obviously, who is going to do that for her? There's no father because she was already married, and therefore he has no rights over her. And once she gets married, he loses those rights. And there's no husband because she's widow or divorced. So obviously that's what the Mishnah is coming to address, that there has to be some element of, yes, getting married, and that there is a husband, but that's what the Pasuk is teaching, that since when she took the neder, although the chalois ha-neder, that's the two components we're discussing, which is the amira, the actual maisa neder, which is the creation of the neder, which is with the words she took when she was a widow, so though she said that it should take effect after 30 days, which is called the chalois, when it takes effect, at that point in time, she is already married. That's what the Pasuk is teaching, says the Mishnah, that the husband still cannot be made for. And the reason is because we go after what's called the Amira. Since when she made the neder was before she got married, so although the chalois, the effect, is taking effect when she's already married, and generally the husband can be made for, that we're saying that no, we don't go based on when it takes effect, but rather when she made it. When she made it was before she got married. Now, when she gets married, the husband can't be made for that neder because that's the halacha known as inna bal mefer b'kayimin. He can't be made for, he can't nullify neder that was, even though it's the first time he's hearing of it, but it's a neder that she had made before she got married, the husband can't be made for a pre-existing type of a neder. And that's what it is. It's not considered that it would only happen when she got married, even though that's when the chalais is. It's considered pre-existing because we go based on the words. Now, similarly, as we continue on top of the Testament Aleph, the Mishnah says that, again, reinforcing this concept that we go after the time when it was said, not after when it takes effect, whether as a leniency or whether as a stringency, because here it's working the other way, as the Mishnah says. Nadra v'hi b'shus habal. Let's say here it's the other way around. When she said the neder, she was in her husband's domain, still, mefer, he's going to be able to be mefer. Ketzad, how so? In other words, how is this illustrating the same idea the other way? Let's say a woman says, and 30 days from now, I'm going to become a Nazira. Now that is what the Mishnah is teaching. So even though if within those 30 days she gets widowed or divorced, still Hareza Mufu is saying that it's going to be considered a valid hafara, because although when it's taking effect she's not married anymore, and therefore she's not in the domain of the husband, it doesn't make a difference. We go after the Amira. If when she said it, she is in her husband's domain, he can be made for it. So too, if she's not in his domain, even when the chalais is in his domain, he can't be made for it. Again, it goes based on when it's said, not when it takes effect. Now, similarly, like related to this last case, where when a woman makes a neder and then she gets divorced, so the Mishnah says a related halacha. Nadra boy bayoim. If a woman makes a neder the day she gets married, then v'nezgarsha boy bayoim, that same day, that she made the neder, which she got married on, she gets divorced on the day of her chasna. Now, hechzir b'bayim. Now, the same day, again, that she got married, made the neder, got divorced, and got remarried all on that same day, still the Mishnah says, inu yach lahafer, the husband cannot be made for the neder. And very simply, why? is because although it's the same husband-wife, but it's still considered a neder b'koydmin. It's a neder that was pre-existing the second time he gets married to her, and there's a halacha that a husband cannot be made for b'koydmin, even though it's the same person, same day. But the second time he's getting married to her, the nedarim that she's coming in with are pre-existing, yes, from his first marriage, but it's pre-existing for his second marriage. Now, and the Ran even points out that even if you're going to say that the second marriage was only an eris and only an engagement and not a marriage, which generally an aris, a chasen, engaged chasen could be mefer b'kaidman, still the Mishnah would hold that he can't be mefer. Why? Because a chasen could be mefer b'kaidman only as an aris with a partnership with her father, which is the halacha, what's called Nair HaMarasa. Now, since here, she really got married one time to him on that day. Now, although now when he's getting re-engaged to her, it's only engagement, not marriage. But the moment she got married to him, her father has no more rights in her. Because once she gets married, he loses their rights, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, which is how the Mishnah concludes. Zahakal, this is the general rule. Kol sheyotzel reshus atzma sha'achas, the moment she leaves, even for 1 second, to her own domain, meaning that she's not under her father's domain because she got married, and neither is she in her husband's domain because she got divorced from him, then he cannot do hafar anymore. The Gemara is going to explain what is this coming to teach, this zaha klal, if seemingly that's already incorporated in the last halacha that we just said, which is the same concept that yes, because the husband can't be made for b'kaidman and because she left her father's domain. Now, the Ran just points out that this that it said that she took the neder that day is saying a chiddush, that even though that same day she was in her, because regarding to the husband, there's no real chiddush in that. It's just because anyway, even if it wasn't that day, or it was, it's still made for b'kaidman, chiddush is regarding her father. That because that day that she took the neder, she was in her father's domain. Now, even so, the moment she gets married, so then there's no more rectification, there's nothing to do about it, even that same day, because as we said, regarding her husband, it's going to be koidman, because now regarding the second time they get married, it's a pre-existing neder. And also regarding her father, there also wouldn't be an ability, if let's say this her husband is only getting engaged to her now for the second time, where then he could be made for koidman, but the father wouldn't work. And that's how the Mishnah ends off, because she went l'rshus atzma, the moment she got married the first time, again, even if the second time was just engagement, she left his domain. The father loses all rights in her. That's what's called, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, Yisim B'chaya Av. She's not in his domain anymore. So therefore, the husband would not be able to be made for again, for sure, if he got married to her, and even if he got engaged to her, because he wouldn't be able to use the partner, the father, who it was. She was not in his domain anymore once she got married the first time. Now, related to the halacha of the Mishnah, to say who's the Tana of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following Tanya, we learn the Braisa. Amana ugrusha sh'amra. If a widow or a divorcee says, Hareini nezira l'ksha en nasi, similar to the halacha of Mishnah, but as we'll see, possibly different, where there, she's a widow or a divorcee now, and she says, but when I get married, whether it's in thanks to Hashem, whatever it is, I'm going to become a nezira. And then she gets married. So Rabbi Shmuel Omer Yofer, Shmuel says that the new husband could be made for her neder. Now the reason is because he holds that we define the neder based on the chalos when it takes effect, not when it's said. And since it's taking effect now when they get married, so it's not a koidman, it's not a pre-existing neder. Although she said it when she was amana grusha, that's not included in the pasuk of the neder, amana grusha yakum ala, and therefore it could be made for the neder. But Rabbi Kiva Imaloy Yafri says no, that he cannot be made for a neder, and that's because he defines it, as we said in the halacha of our Mishnah, based on that mirror when she says it. And she said it when she was not married yet, when she was a widow divorcee, and therefore he wouldn't be able to be made for that now, even though it's taking effect now when they're married, because it would be considered a pre-existing neder. Now, some say that the next two words are actually not part of the primary text of the Gemara, but it says, v'simona yalili, that it says that a mnemonic to recall the halachas of this brisa, a yud lamed lamed yud, which yud stands for the word yafer, and lama stands for the word loyafer, because that's the order of the brisa, where the first halacha said is yafer, which that's Rabbi Shmuel regarding the first case. Then there's a lama, which is loyafer, that's Rabbi Kiva, who says regarding the first case, which we just quoted loyafer. And then regarding the next case, we're going to quote in the Gemara from the brisa, which is the second case, there's a lama first, which is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, loyafer, and then Rabbi Kiva's opinion that yafer, again, because it's the opposite, the inverse of the first case. where it's the same concept regarding do we go Basar Da'amira or Basar D'Chalois, but the first case was Da'amira was when she was not married, and the Chalois was when she is, and here's the other way around. Eshes Isha Amr, a married woman that says, Harein Nazir Li Kesher Esgarish, I'm going to be a Nazir when I get divorced. And B'Nesgarish, and then she got divorced. So Bishmol Amr Lo Yafer, Bishmol says that the husband cannot be Mefer, in other words, the Afar is not going to work, because since at the time when the Ned is going to take effect, she's going to be divorced, she's going to be in her own domain, so the husband has no hafara rights. Whereas Rabbi Kiva, I may offer again, as in the first case, but just the other way around, Rabbi Kiva says that he could do hafara, and the reason is because at the time when she accepted the neder, which was at the time of that mira, then she was in the domain of the husband, and therefore he could be mefer. That's Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva in these two cases. Now, on that, the Braisa explains, each one explains his opinion. I'm Rabbi Shmuel. He says, look, I'll prove my point that you go after the chalois neder when it takes effect. Because Areyu Eimah, the pasuk in Bamidbar says, which recorded in the Mishnah, this pasuk, "V'nedra amano grusha v'gaimer." Now the word neder connotes "achi he neder b'shas amano segerishin." It's that the neder, which again, as the Ran explains, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that the word neder means to say when is it a neder, not when you say it. It's when it takes effect, and therefore both in the Reisha and the Seifa of the Braisa, it goes based on when the effect of a neder that defines it. And again, therefore, regarding the married woman, he can't be mefer because the effect will be when she's not in his domain anymore. And the opposite regarding the case of amana grusha, because we see that it has to be an amana grusha at the time of the neder, which is when it takes effect. Whereas Rabbi Kiva saber hihal that no, Hareyo Emet says there in that same pasuk, kol asher asra al navsha, that whatever she'll make forbidden to herself, which is talking about that her neder will be yakum alau, it will be valid because she's an amana grusha, and no one can be made for her neder. But the way he interprets it is, kol asher asra is like an action, which is, what's the action, not the effect. It's achei isri neder until the prohibition of the neder, meaning when she's making herself a bin with the neder, which is the amira, that has to be b'shas aman segershin. That has to be when she's the widow or the divorcee. In other words, because it's based on the time when the neder is being taken, which again is Rabbi Kiva's opinion of the amira, in contrast to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion of the chalois. That's their machlekes. Based on this braisa, Amar Rav Chizki, he says, must be the Tana of our Mishnah, is like Rabbi Kiva, who again bases it on the time when the neder was said, which is seemingly the halacha of our Mishnah, which was a widow or divorcee says, she's taking this neder of Naziris, and that it should take effect 30 days from now. So although in the interim of the 30 days she gets married, still, even though the effect is when she's married, he can't be made for it because it goes based on that mirror. That's seemingly Rabbi Kiva's opinion, seemingly clear-cut case. On that, Abaye Amay says, no. Afalatem Rabbi Shmuel, you could say the Tana of a Mishnah is like Rabbi Shmuel. How so? Didn't Rabbi Shmuel say you go Basar D'Chalois? And the Mishnah seemingly clearly like Rabbi Kiva that you go Basar D'Amira? So in that, Abaye makes the following distinction. He says, Masnitin, Talya Nafshe B'Yoymi. Look at the cases. They're slightly different, as we alluded to it before. The Mishnah is talking about that she made a neder, she said the words now, that it should take effect at a later point in time. That later point in time was based on days. 30 days, lach alam and yoyim. Braisa talya nafsha b'nisuin. In the Braisa, she didn't say it based on days. It was based on the situational contingency, which is based on marriage, whether getting married or getting out of marriage, which is through divorce. Now, therefore, as the Ran explains, when did Rabbi Shmuel in the Braisa say that we're going to define her neder based on the chalois when it takes effect? That's when it's the situation, which is when at the time of when it's supposed to take effect, that's defining the effect of the neder, which is either marriage or divorce. Now, therefore, since it's not possible for her state, for her status, for the domain that she's in, at the time when she says the neder, to be the same as when the neder takes effect, because it's exactly what she's saying when I transition from this singlehood to married life, or from married life to singlehood, that was the contingency of the taking of the effect of the neder. So when they contradict each other, so Rabbi Shmuel says, you're right, like in the Braisa he says, so then we go based on when the neder takes effect. But the Mishnah was only basing it on days. Now it's possible, as the Gemara explains, that Shomu Yoyme B'loy Nisgarsha, she could conclude her days and not get divorced if it's only based on La'ach Alama Yoyim, or Shomu Yoyme B'loy Mintzavo, or like the other case, that she could finish the 30 days and not get married. In other words, it's possible that the saying of the neder and the effect of the neder, she could be in the same situation. So therefore, what the Gemara is saying, what Abai is trying to say for Rabbi Shmuel, is even if it will change, that she will get married or will get divorced within those 30 days, it could be Rabbi Shmuel would agree that we will define her neder based on when the Amira was and not when it takes effect. And the reason being is because since in the beginning when she made the neder, it was fit to be in that same status, whatever it was, whether singlehood or whether married life. So therefore, we'll say that we see it complete in your speech, in your words. We'll base it based on that. It's the only way they contradict each other. So which is the mightier of the two? So then you're right, Rabbi Shmuel says, like in the case of the Braisa, which her state has to be different, because that's what it was contingent on, getting married or not being married. So then it's going to be based on the effect. But he'll agree to the halacha of our Mishnah that it will go based on when you say it, because since your status could be the same, it's just days that you're saying when it should take effect, so then we see it very empowered type of an Amira, so then that will be the defining factor, even if actually your status changed in the meantime and you get married within the 30 days, still we'll say it's based on the Amira, and therefore it will be considered that it was already a valid neder, pre-existing before the marriage, and that's why Bishmol himself would agree to the halacha of a Mishnah that the husband would not be able to be mefer in such a type of a case. Now, the Gemara explains the end of the Mishnah, which we alluded to that what is the Mishnah adding on when it says Zahaklal, which is seemingly just a summation of the last halacha of the Mishnah. So first the Gemara says, Zahaklal diktoni gabinar ma'rasa. In Perek Nayim Arasa, we had a Mishnah that said seemingly the inverse of this halacha over here, where it said Zahaklal, this is the general rule, that it said, Kol shelo yotzler shus atzma sha'achas, which is the opposite of our case, which our Mishnah is talking about Zahaklal of when she does leave for her own domain for one moment, that then he cannot be mefer. In the Mishnah, Nayim Arasa, it said that if she didn't leave to her own domain for one moment, then the father and the chasin can be mefer her neder together. So on that, the Gemara first addresses, what's that Zahaklal coming to teach? Because we already said over there in Perek Nayim Arasa that that's the halacha. A Nayim Arasa, an engaged Naira, who didn't yet reach the age of when she leaves her father's domain, and neither did she get married to leave her father's domain. So she's somewhere in between with her father and the chasin, that they can be made for on the dome. What are they adding on when it says Zahaklal? This is the general rule. So it's adding on to say general rule, meaning that she didn't leave to her own domain, meaning La Asuya Holacha Av Mishlucha Baal. Even though the father, she's already on her way to her chasin to get married, which then she'll leave her father's domain, and it's even the husband's messengers already escorting her to his house. But since the father went along with those messengers, or even if the father's messengers, his agents, are going together with the husband's agents, so that regarding Benayir Hamirasa, regarding a Naira that's engaged, that even though she's with the husband's agents, but since the father or his messengers are also with her, so she has not yet left her father's domain, and that's what it's saying, Daviyo Baal Mafina Dira, that still, it's a joint effort of the father and the chasin that can be made for a neder. Because had he not gone along with those messengers, is actually what we'll see from our Mishnah. And what does our Mishnah come to conclude when it says that if she did leave to her own domain for one moment, then they cannot be mefer? That's actually learnt out from the Zahaklal of our Mishnah, is lasuya is to include the other way. In other words, if Masra Avla Shlucha Baal, let's say the father did not go with the agents of the husband. I mean, the husband sent an escort to get his wife from that town and bring them to him. So the Shlucha Baal are bringing her. If let's say the father did not go along with them, he sent her with them. Or the agents of the father who walked her a little bit, then didn't go the whole way, then sent her off with the husband's agents. So once there was this handoff, this transition, this giving over, so then the father has no more rights in her. And that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, the Zahaklal, where we view this Mesira as if she got married already. Meaning when she's engaged, the father still has rights. And both of them are made for Hanadara. But once he hands her over, it's like there was marriage, where the only one that can be made for Hanadara now is like when marriage and on is only the husband. But the thing is, since this was already a pre-existing nether, so therefore the husband can't be made for the nether. She'ein ha'baal made for b'kaidman. Because the husband cannot be made for a pre-existing neder. Now, although up until the giving over, the handing over of the woman to the husband's agents, actually he was able to be made for together with the father, but since the father already gave her over, she already left his domain, and therefore he has no more rights in her. And the only one who has rights is the husband, but the husband, once there's nisuin, or let's say sans the father's partnership can't be made for b'koymin. It's only with the father that he could do hafar b'koymin. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah is teaching us with zahaklal. What's it mean, zahaklal? Yes, of course, if she leaves the father's domain or leaves the husband's domain, then they can't be made for. It means to say that even if it wasn't a totally leaving, it was just a handoff from the father or his agents to the husband's agents, so then that would create a situation where he wouldn't be able to be made for the father because she's not in his domain anymore, and that would actually cause a problem that now, as we said, which was similar to the last case that we mentioned over there, where similar when she gets married, so here, even though it wasn't a marriage, and that's what adding with Zahaklal, she's just a handoff, it's like marriage in that sense, where then she leaves the father's domain, and hence now the only domain she's in, the husband. The problem is, it was a nether that she took before marriage, which would make it a kaidman, which the husband himself cannot be made for. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, regarding what would be considered not in the domain of the father or the husband, that therefore automatically the woman's neder would be validated and cannot be voided through hafar. So the Mishnah says, Teshana Aris. There are 9 girls, which actually the Rush points out that's not necessarily a Naira, which generally connotes under the age of 12 and a half, because as we're going to see, actually one of the categories is a Begeris, which is older than that. It means 9 girls that Nidrein Kayamin, that is, although generally the father could be made for the Nidarm of his daughter, there are 9 types of girls that their neder is automatically validated and that the father cannot be made for those Nidarm. Now, the Ram points out that the 9 cases we're going to be describing actually fits into 3 different categories, which they are Yisayim B'chaya Av, which, as we alluded to this category before, which means to say that she's not really an orphan because her father's alive, but she's like an orphan even though her father's alive, which is we're going to see because the moment that she gets married off by her father, she leaves his domain, so even if she gets divorced or widowed, she doesn't go back to her father's domain, even though she's under the age where she's usually in her father's domain and she's not married, because the moment she gets married, she leaves his domain. Second category is literally a yesaima, that her father's dead. And the third one is a begaris, when she reaches over the age of 12 and a half, automatically she's not in her father's domain. So each one of these three categories, she leaves her father's domain. And actually the Rabbonan, as we're going to see in the Gemara, actually only quoted as 3 different cases. It's only Rabbi Yehuda who the Gemara says who the town of the Mishnah is going like, that he splits each one of these 3 categories into 3 separate cases, where the Yerushalmi says that even Rabbi Yehuda, it wasn't necessary, as we're going to see in the cases, for the conceptualization, it's not adding anything. He just did it to sharpen the students and to be able to categorize each category based on its fundamental principle, even though it has all these other variables in those individual cases. So the 9 cases are as follows. Again, it's going to go in categories of 3, 3, and 3. So the first one is Begeris, which is that when she took the neder, she was already Begeris. And Yusayma, and she's a living orphan, meaning because she got married and then she got widowed or divorced. Now, the moment she gets married, as we said, this is the first category of Yusayma B'chaya Av, then the father already has no rights in her. So this just happens to be talking about that she took the neder when she was already begaris, which that itself, as we're going to see in a different category, is enough to make her not in the father's domain. But again, that's not the primary point that these first 3 cases want to illustrate. They want to illustrate that she's the yesaima because that the father has no more rights in her because he already married her off. Second case of this is where she's a naira, meaning she took the neder when she was under 12 and a half, she was 12, ubagra, and then afterwards she became a begaris. And the yesaima, and again, as we said, that she's an orphan in her father's life because he had already married her off. So therefore, again, any neder that she's making, since she doesn't have a husband and her father has no more rights over her, even though she's only a naira, and now she's a begaris, again, which that itself would take her out of father's domain, so no one can be made for her neder, it's automatically kayim. Now, as we continue to Amud Beis, the third one of this first category is naira. She was a naira when she made the neder. Shaloi bagra, and she didn't even become a begaris, but vihi yasayma, but she's still a yasayma in her father's life, because again, he had married her off. So again, these 3 are all the really one case of yasayma b'chaya av. Any woman that was, even if she's 7, but that she's not valid to make a ned to them, but the point is that any woman that gets married off by her father is already automatically not in her father's domain, and therefore the ned that she makes will automatically be kind. That's the first 3 cases. Now, moving on to the second category, is Begeris, if at the time that she made the neder she was a begeris, umesa via, and literally her father dies, meaning she's a real yisaimim, or naira, she was a naira when she made the neder, and then begeris, she became a begeris, umesa via, and her father was dead, or the third one of this second category is naira shaloi bagra, umesa via, she's a naira, and she didn't even become begeris, but her father died again, and these three cases are all from the second category of where literally she's yisaimim. So again, if she's yisaima, she has no father, so of course, her neder is automatically going to be kaim, because she's not married, and there's no father. Now, the third category is naira shemesa via, a naira that her father died, again, which is not primary for this third category, but we have all these three variables in all the three categories. So a naira that her father died, umishemesa via, and when her father died, then she made the neder, but then bagra, she became a begeris, or begeris vavia kaim. She was already begeris, and the father's alive, and she made a neder, and still her neder is going to be automatically valid. Or naira, she was a naira when she made the neder, but then begeris, she became a begeris, and still vavia kaim, even her father's alive. Again, all these three cases, the primary underlying principle is she's a begeris. Once she's 12 and a half, she's out of the house, even though she's in the house. The father cannot be made for her nedarim. So whether the father's alive, whether the father's dead, whether she took her when she's a naira, it doesn't make a difference. The moment she becomes a begeris, the father can't be made for the nedarim anymore. So even though he hears about it afterwards, he can't. Even though it's B'yam Shammah, he can't be made for it because she's not in his domain. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he adds on, and this is according to the interpretation of how the Ram defines this phrase, he says, Af, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that even if, meaning another case where he can't be made for, Hamaisi Bita Hakitana, if a father marries off his daughter, that's even a minor, Vinas Amana, or Inas Garshan, she gets widowed or divorced, B'chazer Etzloi, and she's coming back to Madain Hinaira, and she's still a Naira, which generally, such a woman that's a Naira, and she's not married to anyone, he can be made for Nidarm. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is teaching in the Mishnah, that even if she was a minor when she got married, and still she gets removed through marriage from her father's domain through the marriage. And that's what the Mishnah means to say when it ends up with the words Madain Hinaira, and she's still a Naira. The Ran says, actually, it would even be it's trying to say even afil hikatan. I mean, even if she's a minor, but again, once she gets married, her father has no more rights in her. But why did it use the word naira? Is very simply because a neder of a katana is not a valid neder. So she has to be at least 12 or 11 to be able to be a mufla. But the thing is, you have to be older already to be able to make a neder. So that's why he picks a daini naira, which generally she would be in his domain to be able to make from the darim. So even though she's still that age, which she normally could be made for, and she's not married, that's Rabbi Yehuda's teaching that he can't be made for again based on this principle of once he marries her off, even if she was a katana when he married her off, he can't go ahead and be made for Hanadar. Now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, as we explained this already in the Mishnah, Zu Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the categorization of these nine cases as nine is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ava Chacham, I remember the Chacham say, Sholish Nairis Nidrin Kayaman. It's really three different types of girls that the Nadarma valid, not nine. Because essentially it's begeris, when she's over the age of 12 and a half, that's already the primary variable that she's not in his domain anymore. Or v'yisayma, if she's literally an orphan. Or v'yisayma b'chayav, or if she's an orphan in her father's life, which means to say that he had married her off, so it's like he's not his like her father anymore, like he's dead already, even though he's not really dead. Which again, as we said, these three really comprise all these nine of the Mishnah, and even Rabbi Yehuda actually only said it, as the Yishalmi says, to sharpen the students, to be able to discern what's the primary variable in all these nine different cases. Now continuing with the Mishnah continues on this the topic of our parak, which is regarding the parameters of the limitations of when a husband or a father could be made for a neder. So the Mishnah says as follows, Kainim sheni nena la'abu lovicha. If a woman says, the wife says, I'm taking a neder, that I'm not going to have pleasure from my father and from your father. If I'm going to do anything for you, if I'm going to do work for you, so she says this to her husband, if I do work for you, then my father and your father are forbidden for me to have pleasure from. Or the other way, I'm taking a neder that I'm not going to have pleasure from you, if I do anything for my father, your father, then I'm going to be forbidden to have pleasure from you. So Hariza Yafer, in both of these cases, the husband can be made for the neder. Again, both of them have a neder, but then it's not taking effect unless there's a condition that will make that chicken. So the Ran explains that the Mishnah is in the category of what's called loizu avzu. In other words, it's saying not only is this a halacha that it can be made for, but I'll tell you even the second case, a bigger chiddush, that even there he could be made for, as follows. Because had the Tana of the Mishnah only said the Reisha, the first case of the Mishnah, so we would have thought to say that the reason why the husband could be made for in that case is because right now, essentially, there's an Isser being created. Why? Either regards to the pleasure of her father, because that was the neder that she took. The first case had a neder of her prohibiting herself from her father or his father. That was the neder. Now, but the condition was, if I do anything for you. Now, so therefore, either way you look at it, right now, there's some type of an isser happening. Either the primary neder, which is to have hanah from her father or his father, or what she's going to do for him, which is the condition. Now, since in either one of these two cases, there's nothing less, meaning there's two types of nedarim that a husband could be made for, inu nefesh, and dvarim shebeinoi lebeino. The primary neder is the inu nefesh one. Not having enough from her father or his father, of course, it's going to afflict herself. Now, even the condition is also a category that it can be made for, a lower category, but it's dvarim shebeinoi lebeino. It's something that would affect the relationship. If she can't do, the condition is, if I do something for you, then I'm going to be forbidden. So either one of those categories is something that he can be made for. Therefore, he can be made for. Because since that we really consider this as if the neder took effect. Because it's not possible for any one of these two situations, which are inevitable, one or the other, that shouldn't be less than at least something that affects the relationship, which it can be made for. And that's the case, because if she's not going to do it for him, so the neder's not going to take effect, that itself, he can be made for, because she's not doing stuff for him now. And if she is going to do stuff for him, so it won't be that problem, but then the neder is going to kick in, which is inu nefesh. So either way, you could be mefer. So that we would have understood. But the reason why I had to say the case of the sefer was because regarding the case where she says that, look, I'm taking a neder that I'm not going to have pleasure from you if I do anything for my father or your father. We're there, her condition didn't have inu nefesh, because she just said she's not going to do anything for her father or his father, not from, for. So that's not afflicting her, it's maybe afflicting them. And neither is that condition something that's affecting their relationship between him and her directly. That's just his father or her father. So therefore the Ran says, we would have thought to say that he can't be made for, because what's the problem? Don't do the condition. In other words, the nether is not going to take effect unless you do something for my father or your father. So don't do. And there's no element of inu nefesh or beinoi beinah. And maybe that's why he wouldn't be able to be made for. That's the chiddush of the sefer, since her condition was contingent on something, which normally people do. It's impossible for a woman to hold herself back to make sure she's not going to do anything for her father or his father. So that's the chiddush of the Tana of the Mishnah. Therefore, he could be made for, because the Tana of the Mishnah holds that in such a case, the husband could be made for, even though essentially, really, the neder didn't take effect. What are you being made for? The neder only takes effect if she does something for her father or his father. So what are you being made for? Yes, if she did something, then it would be a problem because it would affect the relationship. But it's not affecting because she didn't do it. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that you could already be made for the neder because it's inevitable she's going to do something and therefore it's going to affect beinai lebeinah, and that's why he could do hafari even now. So those are the two cases of the Mishnah. Now, related to this halacha of the Mishnah regarding conditions, the Gemara brings Tanya Lurin the following brisa. She'eni nenes la'abo olavicha. Same thing as the case of our Mishnah, where she says that I'm taking a neder. I'm not going to have a na'ah from my father or your father, imani ois laficha, if I'm going to do anything for you. So on that, Rabbi Nosson Eimer lo yafer. He argues in the halach of our Mishnah. He says, actually, the husband cannot be mefer. However, the chacham, who's obviously the talmid of our Mishnah, says that he could be mefer. Now, adding on another case, if she says, netula ani min yehudim im misham shosech, I'm forbidden from every Jewish man to have relations if I have relations with you. So Reb Nosson Eimer again, he says, lo yafer. He says, he cannot be made for the nether. Whereas v'chacham ma'am yafer, however the chacham say that he could be made for the nether. So again, the Ran says that the Tan of the Brisa also talks about two cases, and he says that he's addressing these two points that the Ran said why the Tan of the Mishnah was saying two cases, as follows. The first case that the Tan of the Brisa talks about was saying the Chiddush for the opinion of the Rabbanon, and the second case regarding Tashmish was mentioned to say the Chiddush of the opinion of Reb Nosson. Because the first case, the nether itself, which was that I'm not going to have pleasure from my father or your father, was a nether of Inu Nefesh. How so? Because it's going like the opinion of the Rabbanon, who they hold that anytime you prohibit yourself even from one person to have pleasure, which is the case over here, she's saying that She'eni Nenes Mi'aba or Mi'avicha, that's considered a nether of Inu Nefesh, where Shmuel had explained this already enough, Pei Beis, that you take yourself a nether from even one person of Anah, that's considered Inu Nefesh. Now, moreover, not only is the nether Inu Nefesh, but the Tanai, the condition, was something that was related between him and her, Beinoy Lebeinah, because the condition was, Imani Ois Lepicha. She said to her husband, if I do anything but you, then the nether, which of Inu Nefesh takes effect. Now, therefore, we would have thought to say that since the condition was one type of a case, which is one type of a nether, which is Beinoy Lebeinah, and the nether is a different type of a case, which is a nether of Inu Nefesh, we would have thought to say that even according to Rabbanan, he cannot be Mefer. Why? Because the nether didn't take effect yet. You're right. Both are types that he could be Mefer, whether because of Inu Nefesh, which is what the nether is, or because of Beinoy Lebeinah, which was what the condition was. Yeah, but they're still different. So one of them has to first happen. She has to not do anything for him, or she has to, yes, do something for him. But until that happens, we would have thought to say the nether doesn't take effect. That's the chiddush of the first case. Know that even in such a case, Rabban hold, you could be mefer, because essentially, yes, you're either giving him or not doing something for him. And either one, you're in a problem, because if you do, then the nether b'inu nefesh takes effect, and therefore you could be mefer because of that. And if you don't, so that's a problem b'inu lebeinah. So either way you look at it, it's activating some problem that's either inu nefesh or devarim shebeinu lebeinah, which the Chachamim, as we see in the Mishnah, hold that it can be made for. Now, the second case of Netula Anim and Yehudim, which is that she's forbidden, the nether was that she's going to be forbidden to all men for relations, that was said for the Chiddush of the opinion of Reb Nosson, which is that although right now she's automatically going to create a problem of Dvar Meshabeinu Lebeinu. Why? Because in this case, the condition and the nether were the same type of a category. They're both actually were relating to Tashmish Amita, which is in one case of Beinoy Lebeinah. And the reason being is because what should she do? If she's going to have Tashmish, well then she's going to be forbidden after that Tashmish for all future Tashmishin, because she said, if I'm going to have Tashmish with you, then I'm forbidden to all Jewish men. And if she's not going to have Tashmish, well then that's automatically affecting Dvar Mishra Beinoy Lebeinah. And therefore we would have thought to say that Imre Reb Nosson would agree that in such a case, you could be mefer, because that's obviously cold that the nether took effect. Because right now, you're in a catch-20, because either you're not having tashmish, then that's b'nei l'b'nah. If you are having tashmish, then the nether takes effect, which is also a problem b'nei l'b'nah. That's the chiddush of the second case of the Braisa, that even so, since ultimately the nether didn't take effect yet, because you didn't yet have tashmish with him, with the husband, to make all future tashmish forbidden, and neither did you not have Tashmish, because not every second does a person have Tashmish, so it's not yet Dvar Meshabeinu Lebeinah, and therefore Nosson says that you can't go ahead and be made for such a nether, because the nether didn't take effect. And that's the Chiddush of the Braisa, and that's how the Ran explains that the two cases of the Mishnah and the two cases of the Braisa teaching us these Chiddushim, and how far does it go when you made a nether, but it didn't take effect yet, because it's based on the condition. We're depending on the criterion of the condition. Obviously, if the condition didn't take effect and it doesn't have to take effect, then you can't be made for such a nether, because the nether is not there yet. But that's what we spoke about, different levels, where if it probably will take effect, or if it sure will take effect, or if right now we see it as taking effect, those were the different levels that we said regarding this machlekes from Nosson and Chachamim regarding if you're going to be able to make the hafar right now or not. Do we see this as a valid nether that it's here to be able to be made for or not?